I did. Okay, no more goofing around. The recorder's on. I did.
Get a haircut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, lesson number 8. We get to wrap up the Bible today, and we do need to keep moving because this is the last time we meet. Next Sunday is the children's Christmas. No, we've got one more. Why did it? Never mind. What do I know? We do. Anyway, let's get through this, and then I'll think of something to do. We get to work through the later years of Paul, Peter, and John, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, so we'll get to talk a little bit more about the letters that he wrote, 1st and 2nd Peter, which Peter wrote, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation, which John wrote, and then there was a writer to the Hebrews, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out who that may or may not have been, and then we'll take a look at Jude as well. So here's a video introduction. You can follow along on your sheets, or you can listen.
When the book of Acts ends, Paul was in Rome awaiting trial. Luke may have written the Gospel of Luke and his history of the spread of Christianity, the Book of Acts, sometime during the 2 years he waited for the Roman court to decide on Paul's fate. Paul was released. From what we can piece together from Paul's letters, and from a few scattered references in the writings of early church leaders, here's what happened. On his release, Paul visited the congregations in Asia Minor and Greece. He continued to teach, to nurture, and to organize these scattered groups of believers. He knew the churches needed his ongoing care. He stationed Timothy in Ephesus to correct some problems there. He encouraged Timothy with a letter, which we call 1 Timothy. He stationed Titus on the island of Crete to appoint elders to oversee the churches. Later, he wrote a letter to Titus. Early church writers report that Paul did mission work in Spain. While Paul was in Spain, Peter may have come to Rome to help the congregations there and oversee Paul's mission congregations during his absence. Peter wrote 2 letters to churches in Asia Minor. Mark worked with Peter in Rome during those later years. And some early church writers said that Mark wrote his gospel in Rome with Peter's help. Legend has it that Peter died in Rome. Paul returned from Spain. He continued to support the churches in Asia Minor and Greece. Later in life, he was arrested and sent once again to Rome to stand trial. From his last letter, a second letter to Timothy, it is clear that Paul did not expect to be released. Early church writers tell us he was martyred in Rome. We might mention a few books we have not touched on yet. The Apostle Matthew wrote a gospel, possibly the first of the 4 Gospels. A brother of Jesus, Jude, wrote a short letter. This letter may have been written later, after Peter wrote his second letter, for it underscores much of what Peter wrote. An unknown author wrote to Jewish Christians, to Hebrews, encouraging them not to give up on Jesus, no matter what persecutions they were called on to endure. Late in his life, the Apostle John served the church in Ephesus. He wrote the gospel that goes by his name, John, and 3 letters that also go by his name, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. The last book of the New Testament is the book of Revelation, also written by the Apostle John when he was in exile on an island called Patmos. In one of the visions Jesus gave to John, he saw a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe and people and nation and language. Seated on the throne was a lamb, and the people around the throne called out, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." John was recording the great scene in heaven, where all the believers from the Old Testament and the New acknowledged the great work of God in saving them through the work of the Savior Jesus. The last 2 chapters of the Bible picture the coming heaven. John saw the tree of life growing there as it did in the Garden of Eden, and the streams of clear water flowing out from under the throne and watering the land. There is no night there, or death, or weeping. And the curse God placed on the world back in the Garden of Eden is gone. This is a perfect place where God's people enjoy his loving presence into eternity. The first two chapters of the Bible picture a perfect earth where God lives in peace with his people. And the last two chapters of the Bible picture the same. In between lies the story of how God restored his world to its original condition through the work of his Son. It is the greatest story ever told. Among Jesus' last words to John in the book of Revelation are these. These words are faithful and true. Behold, I am coming quickly. John concludes, and we agree, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
So now that I know we have two Sundays, we can proceed the way we have. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write your names down by which number you have so that next week we don't have to go through that painful ordeal. Well, who did this one? And then I'll know and I'll call you out. So you're going to have to skip next week if you want to get out of your work. The what and where is our first order of tasks. So if you turn the page, please, you can see the what and where chart. The first where is 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Next is 1 and 2 Peter. And Judas 3. Good clarification. Then under Jude goes Hebrews chapter 1 and 11. The next is 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And then the last one, Revelation chapter 1. Why don't we do it this way? If you will take Timothy and Titus and just page through them, summarize what's the purpose of Paul writing those. And if you would do 1 and 2 Peter, what is Peter hoping to accomplish through his letters? Jude, you get the short one. You do get Jude. Is there a theme, a main message? Hate. Nice. Yes, someone could sing for us. Hebrews 1 and 11. And then do John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. What is John encouraging people toward? And then you have Revelation. What's the point of Revelation? Confusion. A slightly different pace of music this morning.
join us.
Okay, let's see where we are. The first section we want to talk about briefly, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, what's going on there? I will amplify for you.
Okay. In 1 Timothy, it's Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus, where his main concern was to preserve the Christian faith, teach right living and right behavior amongst the people. He was a young man, and don't let that be discouraged. If you're a follower of God and you're, you know, there for me. And Second Timothy was kind of a letter of encouragement to Timothy, and kind of to pass the torch.
Okay.
You know, pass the torch on to Timothy. And then Titus was a Greek convert. He was a special representative to the island of Crete and to all believers on the island of Crete.
Okay, and what were these guys by profession?
Pardon?
Yeah, pastor, right? Not only was he a young man, but he was also a young pastor. So Paul said, here's what you should be about, Timothy. Strengthen people in the Word of God, you said, and in Christian living, and get the church going.
And how to behave within the church, yeah.
Okay, good. And how to encourage the people to behave in the church. All right, good. I think that's a good summary of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. The pastoral epistles. Moving on?
Yeah.
All right. What does Peter want to share with us?
Well, from this, I think it needs to comfort the Christians in a time of trial, and it was written to convert people, to bring non-believers to know Christ.
Okay. What were they especially tested by?
In 2 Peter, it's false teaching. Mm-hmm. I didn't see so much in first Peter, but in both books, it's that the grace of God is going to be with you, and that is to to live your life. Submitting to authority and all of this, to the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And I usually conduct myself in all my with the grace of God. And that's basically that first
okay.
Second Peter, I got as far as the grace of the Lord, and we use that in the trials of false teachers. And use God's grace in defense of false teachers.
Okay.
In defense of the truth against false teachers.
Okay, so the grace, he wanted them to focus on the grace of God, which would get them through the trials of false teaching, and it would give them, it would equip them to make new converts as well. Okay?
Well, encouragement to the suffering Christians that they were going through persecution and being killed for their faith and being scattered throughout the world.
All right, that's the other side of it. So it was to give, share grace with them from the challenges within the church, and also grace for the challenges from outside of the church. Last week we talked very briefly that the Roman government was kind of, you know, starting to give a second look at Christianity, and maybe this isn't such a good thing. And Rome is really going to start ramping up. And so these people were experiencing some of that, and Peter wanted them to remember God's grace will see them through persecution. God's grace will see them through both from within and without. Yes?
I also saw in 2 Peter something I think he had maybe a vision, maybe thoughts about what's going to happen with people in the future in their faith, and that is the fact that people will talk about, well, you know, God, who wrote the Bible? Man wrote the Bible, so it's subject to interpretation and such like that. I think he answers that wonderfully, and I mean, just a few times when people challenge me on that, is 2 Peter 20, where it says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that to me clearly says that God wrote the Bible, man was just the instrument.
Good. And that's why you can have hope. Because this is not Peter's word, and it is not King David's word, it is God's word.
Nor any of them. It was all through the Holy Spirit that they were guided to say these things. The right things.
Okay. Good. Do you know what that's called? That God gave the Bible word for word? Verbal inspiration. Yes. Catechism people. Let's see, there is one of those in the room, right? God breathed into, literally that's what the word means. He breathed into. All Scripture is God breathed. He breathed into the Bible writers the thoughts and words to use. So they were the instruments. Good. All right, so there is hope. There is hope through God, and He equips you with hope through His Word. What about Jude? Good enough. Be on guard against false teachings and false teachers. Just kind of coexist. No, not coexist, right?
Reminder too that God will take care of those who are waste sinners who infiltrate and do it for their own profit. Just that we have to pass, so obviously beware of them, but trust that God is going to take care of all of them.
Yeah, especially when it's frustrating, I would imagine. Okay. So stand up for the truth of God's word, and God will take care of problems that we can't. And people who looks like they're getting away with it, and why doesn't God do something? Well, God will do something in His time. All right. Thank you. Hebrews. Did you have Hebrews? Yes. Okay. The Son is superior not only to the angels, but to everyone, everything. Good. So it's really the supremacy of Christ is revealed. And so they are not to be worshipped, they are also servants. Okay. Anything more? Okay. And faith is useless? Good. What's the point of chapter 11? Good. And so faith, and then there are plenty of examples of people who lived by faith and survived by faith, and they benefited eternally by faith. Okay. Good job. Faith in the Savior who is supreme above everything, whether it's angels or prophets or high priests. He is the ultimate high priest. Good job. There's a comment over here.
Well, I just think that Hebrews were kind of second generation Christians. So, and they were fighting because of their lack of knowledge. They were threatening to go back to Judaism. So they were fighting that too. So that was very important. The Hebrew writer, you know, would address that quite a bit in Hebrews, you know, to ward them off of that, because get back into the Word. When you stray away from the Word, you're back into the world, you're back into, they kept wanting to go back into the Judaism.
Okay. And we'll get into that when in some of our discussion questions, but why would you ever, it's almost like Galatians. Why would you want to go back after you've had Jesus? You know, He is supreme, He is superior to everything. And they probably had good reasons. Well, it's my culture, it's what Grandpa and Grandma did. But Jesus is superior, He's the fulfillment of everything. We'll talk about that. Good point. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Oh yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's 4-1, so. 5-1.
I like one line, he just says, don't sin, which is optimistic.
All right.
He says, keep your faith strong, don't love the world, love each other.
Okay, because the truth is, who loved you first? All right. So there is truth and love, and we'll talk about that a little bit more too, as to how they go together and why both are important. Yeah. And if you love God and love your neighbor, you're not going to sin. And why do you not want to sin? Well, because God loved me first. Special assignment for you and your table. You're welcome. Okay. Well, you have table number 6 backing up the church. Revelation.
It's the foretelling of God's coming again. It's written in a symbolistic method due to the nature of the times, and it tells that Jesus leads the church and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
And who wins?
God.
Yeah, God wins. No matter what's going on, God wins. You know, it's the biggest spoiler in the Bible.
State, they just keep winning.
It's like who?
Florida State, the football team. Oh. They've gone undefeated and they can't win by 1 point here and there. I mean, it's one of those, you know, I guess the little humor.
Okay. Yes.
One thing, reading in my note, that it's covers 3 pivotal points. Suffering, kingdom, and patient endurance. The whole book. So it's laying it all out for the book, note 3 areas.
Okay. So lots to learn. We are no different than, things are no different today than then. You know, same things, same Savior, same victory. We win because Jesus wins. Yes, George?
I think the primary point is he says he's alive and holds the keys of death and life. And he talked about the 7 stars, which are the 7 churches, and the angels of the 7 churches. In other words, there's 7 stars that are, and there's the 7 churches in Revelation. And then the 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. And he says, be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown. Then in the beginning of the next chapter, he talks about, we know that there's two churches that didn't have. We talked about the seven churches,
mm-hmm.
and then there's only two churches that didn't receive the bad talk. And so that was Smyrna and Philadelphia. So that's where we get the term that when they say that Philadelphia is the city of love, that's where we get that term.
Okay, good summary. There's a lot packed in there, but it's a picture book, and you did a good job of introducing us to some of the symbolism. And we'll come back to the crown of life and why we can be guaranteed the crown of life when maybe we're not so faithful all the time. So we'll come back and talk to that. So we have about 27 minutes or so to fill out the next section, to dig a little bit deeper, and then when your table gets done, then you can go on and do the two applications from letter C also. At this time, I will assign your table one of the numbers under letter B, and then you can work on that collectively, pool your thoughts, your skills, and come up with a great answer, and then the next time we'll start there with those great answers. So work on the one that's assigned to you, and then go do section C when you're done. Good plan? All right, you can be table one today. You've always been last. So you can be table number one today. So be number one. All right? And then when you finish that, go on to section C. Number two. Table three. Read number three. Four. Yes. Nothing? Are you wondering why Peterson instead of Peterson? I don't know why I did that. Number five. They had four. You had five, please.
Okay. Well, we get the very tail end, people. We got it. We're six.
I knew it.
There you go.
He wanted one because he already had the answer.
Wow. Working ahead while we are talking about something else.
So he's just smart.
Drive the teachers nuts.
All that stuff and then whatever. I'm
That's why I love the end of it. We need to endure in our faith. that's the whole end of
Revelation.
I've got it all answered. I've got it all done for you. Well, you taught, I get all the work.
What's the big warning? There's a big warning.
Oh, yeah. The big warning is given to those who might purposely take the message.
So then there's a big promise, and then you lose the promise if you don't listen to the warning.
So that's
It's about the seven, the rest.
Or could you just read the introduction?
unless you understand that you are not sinning, then the difference goes to the truth. And what I'm going to do is that I don't want to go to the truth. That is sinful. To emphasize what you already think you are. You got it. You know, and you should just love everybody and everything's going to be fine. But if you're going to show who you are, what protection you have to end up with. Jesus sent his own image. If you don't understand, his purpose was to die for his sins.
Okay, we're right at time. So thank you for your work today, and next week we'll spend some time discussing this. Good plan?
It's a plan.
I do. You know, I have worked very little this quarter. You have done all the work. It's been great. I think we'll put the tables up if you have a chance. If not, I'll come back afterwards. Well, I'm not sure if they need the room during the day. And there's open gym tonight.
The reception for the piano recital.
They need tables for that?
Well, I'll check you in to sit down.
A reception will be held in the gym. I don't know.
All right, we'll leave them up.
I'll get you off.